that, you know, recording a podcast. Am I recording? Can you see? Yeah. Right. It's like, some people think making a podcast is like doing radio. And so they have intro and they do editing and they cut out the bad parts. And I don't do any of that. I just record and that's it. You've listened to my podcast, mm-hmm. right? So what should we talk about today? I sent you an email, Alan. I think, did you get this too, Rebecca, about Tim Bray has this idea that JSON is not good enough and he needs to come out with JSON++. This is his idea.
Well, he just wants to clean up a few things.
Right. Yeah. But I know Tim Bray, by the way, and
From Adam days?
Is that... Yeah, and so Tim Bray said some not very nice things to me in that period, personally. And before that, we had been, you know, getting along pretty well. So I don't think Tim Bray listened to me when I said what I had to say. So I'm not left with a great feeling about that. And I sort of saw this and said, oh my God, Tim Bray is at it again. You know, it's like my feeling is JSON is fantastic. The fact that, you know, JSON is human readable is good, but that's not really what it's there for. It's really there for is a way of storing data for that come in and out of primarily JavaScript mm-hmm. programs. But so,
well, let me give you the background that leads.
Well, you know something about this.
Oh,
right?
I absolutely know something. Okay. I know a lot of somethings
awesome.
About this.
Right.
So Doug Crockford, Douglas, you know, he originally, he likes to say discovered, but he originally, you know, defined JSON. Mm-hmm. You know, mid-2000s, sometime there, I think he was asked to do an RFC, or, you know, to formally document it.
From the IETF?
From the IETF, right. Yeah. And so he did that, and he wrote it up, and so for a long time, that was the
so there is an RFC for
JSON. Oh, there has, yeah. Oh, yes, there was. Yes.
So, but isn't JSON just like the serious, it's very close to the source representation of data structures internally in JavaScript, but it's not exactly it.
Well,
right?
So originally, it was a subset of the object literal and array format.
Okay, it's a subset. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and the subsettiness tends to relate to things that were necessary to make sure it could be interoperable with other languages and such. So, at the time JSON was discovered, you couldn't in an object literal define a property whose name was a reserved word.
Well, that's why they're in quotes.
And so that's why the keys are always in quotes.
Wait, I don't get it. So wait, say that what you said again. You couldn't have reserved words. You couldn't have an object that was named if.
You couldn't have a property of an object that was named if.
Or let. Or whatever. Or,
interesting. Yeah. Or what would happen in JavaScript if you did that?
You'd get a syntax error.
I see. Okay.
So, but this is in an object literal. You know, if you quote
and that's why the quotes are there, because the goal was to have JSON be a subset of JavaScript syntax. If it wasn't that goal, they could do whatever they want, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. And the expectation, I think one of the expectations is when people who were defining these schemas, they might not be JavaScript programmers at all. I mean, they might be working in some other environment, but they...
Right. When I did JSON, my first implementation, yeah. I wasn't working in JavaScript.
Right. So they wouldn't necessarily know what was a reserved word in JavaScript or not.
That's right.
Right. So, yeah. So Doug just decided to quote everything.
Interesting.
Okay.
Was he working all by himself? Was anybody giving him input? Was he asking for feedback, or was he doing this on his own?
Well, I know Doug, back at the time this was going on, was working on some projects, and there were other people involved, so I don't know how closely on, the, you know.
So this was when he was at Yahoo?
Yeah, it may have been a bit before he was at Walmart.
What was he doing at Yahoo? I know nothing about these people, but it's fascinating that this whole culture developed. I love the fact that it was an individual doing this. I think that's phenomenal, you know?
Yeah. Well, so I probably shouldn't try to, off the top of my head,
okay, that's
reiterate
all right. It's all good. It's
Doug
all good.
Crawford's
yeah, yeah.
career.
But anyway, so you continue
but anyway,
the story.
Yeah. But the other important piece of it was, since there was a subset of JavaScript syntax, that meant you could use JavaScript eval function to evaluate it, right? So that was really what
that's nice.
Made it so easy is you could just have this structure here, you could read it in somehow into a string and just do an eval on it, and you'd get back the data, you'd get back the corresponding.
I do JSON.parse, but I could just do eval.
Yes.
Eval.
Now,
but eval would have security holes in it. It would.
Yes, because yeah.
It's just code now.
It's
and
just code, and you know, somebody could claim this is a JSON file, but they could put any JavaScript code.
Right.
They
that's why you don't call eval on it, right?
And that's why JSON.parse and other things were invented and stuff. So anyway, so this was documented in an RFC, and that was fine for a number of years. Until
do you remember what year this was?
The RFC, I'd have to look up the date, but it's probably 2004, 2005.
Oh, so it's that long ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because, well, you know, Ajax, right? You know, web Ajax.
So Ajax predates that, right?
Ajax.
But Ajax is XML, it's not JSON.
Well, that's right. The X in Ajax means XML, but very quickly the reality of Ajax became it's JSON, not XML.
Yeah, of course.
So
that's when JSONP came along, and that was a whole other thing, right?
Right, right. That's
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, let's stay on track.
Yeah,
here.
I'm getting
since we're telling the story that leads up to
to the thing, yeah.
Yeah. So in ECMAScript 5, which was published in 2009, that was when JSON parse and JSON stringify was introduced into the standard.
I see.
And as part of that standard, in the ECMAScript standard, ECMA 2.6.2, we included the syntax that defines JSON. So at that point in time, you could say JSON had gone from being an IETF RFC to being defined by the ECMA mm-hmm. ECMAScript standard.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. So a couple years later, this is probably 2011-12 type time frame. In the IETF, people started wanting to define new IETF style protocols. You know, I don't know, WebRPC, the sorts of things that IETF traditionally have defined.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people started deciding that they wanted to, instead of encoding things in XML or whatever, in these new standard protocols they're going to define, they wanted to use JSON to encode things. Somebody raised a red flag that said, there isn't a normative standard for JSON. There's only this RFC.
Hmm. What does that mean when you say there isn't a normative standard? I mean, isn't the RFC... There are so many things in the internet that have only gone as far as an RFC, and they work just fine, right? Email is based on an RFC.
So practically speaking, there's not a big difference, but there's all sorts of kind of politics and even law behind what standards are and stuff.
Right.
And in theory, a normative standard is something that has been created through some standards creation process and is published by a standards organization. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of various tiers of standards organizations about how much, how seriously you should take them, going up to ISO, which is the International Standards Organization.
Okay.
When one standard references another standard, if it wants to be, if what you're writing, you want to be a normative standard, which means like this is an official rubber stamp, maybe some government somewhere might care or something,
right.
Then in theory you can only reference other normative standards,
yeah,
because if you referenced kind of down a level,
yeah,
that would kind of taint you.
Right. Okay. So they had a problem with JSON because it wasn't a normative standard.
Because they didn't realize that ECMA 262, the ECMAScript standard, had already defined JSON.
And so ECMAScript was a normative.
So they could have referenced that as a normative standard.
Okay.
But they said, okay, so we really need to reissue this as a normative standard. And IETF has what they call standard track RFCs and stuff that are essentially normative standards. And so my understanding is they contacted Doug and said, you know, since you wrote the original RFC, we want to reopen this and reissue this as a normative standard, and would you be editor for that? And he said, sure. And they formed a working group on an IETF email working group. And immediately, this is my perception, but immediately everybody wanted to change stuff. So since now
I'm totally familiar with that process.
Since now,
get that. That's when you open the door, and then all of a sudden, all bets are off.
The door has been opened, and all bets are off.
And so, how did Doug Crockford feel about agreeing to be the editor at that point? Because this is an individual, right?
Yes.
This is a guy who took it on himself, saw this idea to be discovered, and it was easy for him, right? He didn't have to. Okay, so
Doug's position is
I
one.
I can only imagine what Doug would have felt.
Yeah. Well, his position about JSON all along was one that I think you'd find very familiar, which is that JSON is what JSON is, and it can never change.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Right.
And making any change would, in one sense, invalidate it, because now you would no longer. Now you'd have two kinds of JSONs.
That's
you'd have
right.
Old JSON and new JSON.
And there goes your interrupt.
Right,
and interrupt is the reason why you want this. That's the purpose.
Except for the fact that the primitives aren't exactly what you might like to convey.
But it works. I've never had
like dates. Have you done Java programming?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. No, I mean, you have to have this.
There's no convention for date, right? So you have to pick your format.
And you have to have kind of like a handshake in between anyway, an agreement about how you transfer.
Well, formats are like that. There's always been attempts to try to come up with meta languages in which there doesn't need to be any agreement, because you specify in the schema or whatever what's supposed to be there. But you end up chasing your tail, because at some level you have to agree on something, right? We got a lot of heat on this in RSS because we were using RFC 822 dates, and everybody said, well, we have much better technology for that. Well, how much better technology do you need?
So,
it's capable of representing any date that you could possibly want.
I personally wouldn't care what date you used,
right,
as long as you had one.
Right.
They're just making
point. So he didn't have a spec for that.
Right.
That was an oversight, an omission.
In
a sane world, they would have let him just say, Doug, what would you like to be the convention? And Doug would have said, whatever.
And
that would have worked. In other words, let's have a little time machine here and pretend that you didn't overlook this. And now let's go ahead and do it.
No,
right?
but that would be a change. And that then causes the interoperability issues. Because now you're reading a JSON file. You're defining a JSON file. Who's reading this? Is this by a language?
In my world, you would be able to do that, but you wouldn't be able to call it JSON.
Yeah.
That would be my problem with this JSON++ idea, is that, he's not just going for this, for just coming up with something new. Presumably, he wants this to come back into JavaScript now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's where...
Why else
call it JSON++?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, and then we have a problem that I'm only writing JSON files, and, and his problems could be solved without breaking JSON. That was the thing that really kind of ticked me off, is that you don't need to break the underlying language to be able to have a convenience like including commas. I mean, make an editor that generates the commas for you. How hard is that? Or learn what the rules are for commas, which, by the way, it's not all that complicated. I don't think. Maybe I missed something.
Oh, commas, it'd be, you'd be amazed.
What's wrong with commas?
You'd be amazed
at the
people who...
I'd rather have dates.
By the way, do you know that if this ever sees the light of day, this little thing we're doing here, it's going to be Flame War City about 18 different ways.
But like you say, no one's actually going to listen to it.
Exactly. They missed that part, but nobody
or they won't get this far in. So it's. But
well, let me just see how far we are in terms of time. It's always a good idea to know. Oh, jeez. It says, we're 15 minutes in. So you have to figure, let's go faster,
well,
okay?
So there was kind of... So
it doesn't mean talk faster. Right. That means eliminate.
So this initial round of standardization stuff, people had lots of new ideas. And there's sort of two categories of problems people wanted to solve in a better JSON, one of which was these things like commas and date formats and stuff.
The other, well, and what year is this?
Oh, it's 2011, probably 2011, 2012.
Right, and there's a mail list somewhere where people are discussing this?
Yeah, there's an IE mail list for an IETF group.
Do you remember any of the names of the people that were?
Well, some of them are.
You don't want to say their names, or?
Well, some of them you've already said one of the names.
Oh, so there was Tim Bray was there.
It was, and so I would say there's three things. So wanting to do these fixes, the IETF motivation, right, was in defining these protocols. Sort of transport layer protocols and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things, I mean, I learned in this process is, you know, different groups, different standard groups are populated with different sorts of people. And IETF, or at least in this group of IETF, was populated with people who are doing like wire level protocols.
Yeah.
And so they're very concerned. So they had lots of concerns, like JSON doesn't say what the precision of numbers are. Mm. Or it doesn't say what the range is, or actually doesn't distinguish between integers and reals. Right.
But doesn't the JavaScript standard say that? Couldn't you defer to JavaScript for that, like you were saying before?
Well, but JSON is supposed to be language independent.
So
JSON just says, you know, a number has the syntax. Parse it and interpret it, you know?
I like that. Sounds very reasonable.
And there's nothing in the JSON spec that says... You couldn't write an indefinite precision integer, and it would be a valid JSON integer, whether your deserializer knew how to deserialize, you know, 50-digit integers.
Okay, so that was one of their issues.
So there was just things related to that in terms of they wanted to pin down sort of details like that. And Doug didn't want to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do
that. No, the argument is,
define it in the next level
that's,
spec.
That's right.
That's the purpose of your spec. You have to do that.
If you want to have an IETF protocol
right.
JSON,
just go ahead and write down what it is.
Go ahead and write down the rules.
Just write it down and we're done.
At any rate,
doesn't need to go back and invalidate all the work that's been done before.
Yeah, and then so the third thing, I mean, again, each of these groups has its own culture about how they work. Yeah. My perception, and I think Doug's perception, is at least on the mailing list, the IETF was very combative.
Sure.
At least relative towards him.
Towards Doug.
Towards Doug.
Yeah, yeah. And did he get a reputation for being difficult or whatever? Because that's what happens in these mail lists.
Yeah, well, sure. That's what people turn it around and say, well, Doug won't agree to what we want, and so he's difficult.
Right, yeah.
So Doug resigned as the editor of this.
Predictable.
And Tim Bray
took it over.
He ended up becoming the editor.
Oh.
But Doug, since Doug was participant in ECMA TC39, uh-huh. came back to TC39 and kind of said, these IETF guys want to go and change JSON. because they're doing it because they say there isn't a normative standard. Can we do a ECMA normative standard of JSON? That's okay. I said, well, it's already in the JavaScript spec. And he says, yeah, but they want a separate one. And said, sure. So
you did.
So we did.
Awesome.
It's called the number of the standard. As standards all seem to have numbers, it's ECMA 402, I believe.
Interesting. So what's Tim Bray doing now then? What I didn't see the... I didn't see any preamble on that said these issues have come up before in the context of that.
So eventually now when Tim took over editors, as editor, there's still a lot of discussion on this mailing list about extensions and stuff, but but I think enough people stood up and said it needs to be stable, not that they couldn't get consensus about making any of these big changes.
Right.
And I and Doug's previous various people made input saying, you know, suggesting exactly what you said, well, they need to have their own separate spec about these things, about integers and
it's easy.
Stuff. Yeah. So they did that, basically. I mean, they did issue a new version that was pretty much...
A version of what? Because you guys had your standard.
I know. Yeah, well, we already had our standard, yeah. Right. So...
So they came out with something new?
Well...
Was it called JSON, or...?
They just reissued a new version of the RFC that had some minor, not actually changes to this, to the what was specified, but some language changes and, you know, spec language changes.
Yeah.
And that was nomenclated as a standards track document. So it's something that could be referenced as a normative spec.
Yep.
And they went off and did another document whose RFC number I don't know off the top of my head, which covers some of this other stuff. Okay, and there was still a lot of, but now you got these two normative standards. You have a normative standard from ECMA that says here's what JSON is, and a normative standard from IATF that says what JSON is. Now, fortunately, what they describe is the same thing, right? And so...
Identically?
Do they both have commas
yes.
as optional?
No, they need
commas are required.
No, it's not.
So tell me, okay, so let's go back. Okay, so I understand now we have this awful situation that, in my opinion, I just want to be clear, it's my opinion, the IETF people were being rude. That's my opinion. That basically, here's a guy, Doug Crockford, who did something that was brave and visionary and incredibly useful, all those things, and maybe a few other things, and it worked, gained traction. This is the most amazing. Nobody would be fighting over this if JSON hadn't become, incredibly useful, and singularly useful, because there's nothing else, you know, because XML went down the kind of path that we're looking at here and became this hairball that, you know, doesn't have anybody's respect for all of the arguing that was ever done over it. It ended up being something that nobody wanted to use. JSON is something that not only does everybody want to use, but we all do. You know, this goes to what we were talking about the other day, where, you know, why can't we just, you know, build on something and stop screwing with it, you know?
Right. It's, yeah.
So if you were to have extensions... No, I don't want to pursue that. If you were to have extensions...
I wasn't saying extensions.
No, you say build on. If you
yeah, but that wasn't what I meant by build
no,
on.
No, I understand that.
Okay,
but if you were to have extensions, because people want that, some people want that, what's the good way of doing that?
Well, we have some prior art. We have prior art from that. Namespaces in XML actually work pretty well, both technically and politically. They're... And probably more politically than anything, because you can say a spec is frozen, but supports namespaces, and now you've defined some structures that can't change, so everybody gets to build on them. But if you ever need to replace any of the things that are in there, because they don't work in some future context, define a namespace, and now you've created something new that has a different name. So there's no ambiguity.
So there's
about
a hook.
Right. And so that's what we did with RSS 2.0. I should say that's what I did. That's why everybody had so much trouble with it, because it was an individual's act, as opposed to no organization or mail list would ever come to the conclusion that implementers need something to implement. That's never a concern for them, but that's all I was concerned about, was we needed to get on with it. We had a blogging was raging, and the publishing world was using this stuff, and we just need to say, this is it, it's done. Everybody gets to build on it now. And the namespaces thing was a perfect escape valve, and it actually has worked over time. I've not had to ever go back and change the spec there, or I never felt compelled to do it, because I could always define a namespace.
Mm-hmm. So the what Doug would say and what I would say and what is generally, I think, the ECMA-TC39 perspective on this is that, first of all, the ECMA, the JSON standard is purely a syntactic standard. It actually has no semantics. It only says, these here are sequences.
But in your ECMA, you define what that means.
Well, for every language, in every language, really in every application,
you have to define
the semantics. If you're going to process
JSON. Yeah, because it's simply a data structure. Right. That's all it is. But, it's just a data structure.
Yeah, and so all the JSON standard says is, basically tells you whether some string of text is a legal JSON data structure.
But it also
not.
Does indicate, to some extent, doesn't it, how that's to be interpreted, that a left curly brace means something and a square
beginning,
brace means
ending,
something?
And, yeah,
well, it means an array or a struct.
Well, it doesn't... Your language may not have...
I understand that this is my word for those things, right? I understand because we went through all this shit in 1998 with XMLRPC.
And
there was this guy at Microsoft, Mohsen Alkozain, who had this brilliant insight.
I know Mohsen.
I'm sure you do. And Mohsen noticed, and he actually did a study, he went through all the languages. He said, my God, every language has a concept of a struct. And it has a concept of an array. Whatever you want to call them, every fucking language has that. So we ought to simply mirror that language we're trying to, the thing we're trying to do for interop, that's what it should do, right? Mm-hmm. And when you say it's only syntax, but isn't that half of what we do? I mean, we've got code and we've got data. Yeah. This is your data. It's incredibly important to what we do.
So to actually meaningfully interchange data using that syntax, you have to have agreement between the producer and consumer on how to
And you know how you do that? You do that based on demand, okay? If I have an application that has 10 million users, and you want access to those users, the person you need to ask about what those conventions are is the guy who has the 10 million users, right? If Facebook says one day, we're not using JSON anymore, we're using something else that looks completely different. You want to know something? I'm going to be using that. Why? Because they got 1.5 billion users. And that's where, that's where the theory of the mail list start breaking down, because you end up with people with no users, with nothing, no reason for anybody to want to be compatible with them.
Yeah,
you know, and that we're focused on interop. That's how I look at this stuff. I guess other people want to be elegant, or they want to be human editable, or whatever it is they want. But interop, JSON delivers interop like nothing else ever has.
Right, and the JSON doesn't need to change perspective on things is. You have the basic syntax that can be used to describe anything.
Yep.
And so if you want to pass dates in a certain format, you have to say
I think we've resolved this now.
Here's what a string looks like. Yeah. A string looks like this is a date. If you want to have namespaces, well, you can put as a property in your objects a property name that says namespace, and after it, define what comes
at,
and from that you can build anything you want. So,
and also, by the way, you can make an editor that generates the commas for you, right? And so you don't need to change the underlying format just to make it more conveniently editable for somebody who has trouble with commas.
Or human readable, or whatever.
Another issue people bring up is JSON. The JSON standard doesn't have a comment.
Right.
Right? You can't put a comment into it.
Right.
Well, again, you can solve that problem.
There are preprocessors that support that.
The preprocessor will do it, or you can define a property named comment.
Right, because there's another principle play in these things is that you ignore what you don't understand, which is, would say, okay, you're not looking for something named comment, then it shouldn't bother you that I put it in there, right? Yeah.
Okay, so I'll write.
I do that in HTML, by the way. I have attributes of things called comment, and... So I think we understand now.
Okay, so where we got to today...
But we don't have to summarize.
Okay.
We got there.
Yes, okay.
All right, you want to go for it.
No. It's good enough to say so that after going through this process and getting these two specs from two different organizations that are aligned, there are still people who are unhappy with JSON, and apparently Tim, to a small degree, is one.
And he's lobbying for support among the readers of his blog.
And so now he's saying, and so he's out, pushing for extensions, and you know, the pushback from a lot of people is, no, it's a frozen spec. I mean, it's a frozen design.
I love that. I'm
you
so
can't
glad
change it.
That, see, I was the lone voice in that RSS world that wanted to ever use the word frozen.
No,
but frozen is beautiful. Everybody said, well, why would you ever want to freeze technology?
So the reason people want to unfreeze
it. I know why, why they
want to unfreeze it is because, right, because the second half of that argument, it's frozen. But of course, if you want to define a new format with a different name, feel
right.
free to do
go
it.
For it.
The problem, of course, is getting any adoption of that new thing.
Well, there you go. That's the thing right. I was talking about before. You know, like it or not, the people who call the shots here are the people who have the install
right.
base. And if you don't have, I mean, I have people saying this all the time. It's just that, you know, if we just added this thing to RSS, wouldn't it be great? You know, it does this amazing stuff. But that isn't the problem. The problem is, how do you get anybody to use it? If you figure that one out, then of course we'll figure out a way to
well,
get it.
Well, part of the logic there is, well, okay, people just won't, and you know, and there are a lot of other equivalent formats to JSON that, you know, has optional commas or whatever. It's not like there aren't other formats you
the
can use.
The one thing that JSON has is yeah. it hooks into JavaScript beautifully, and JavaScript is very widely deployed,
yeah.
you know, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So why don't we just say your name is Alan Wirfsbrock,
yeah.
W-I-R-F-S hyphen B-R-O-C-K,
yeah.
and Rebecca Wirfsbrock, and they're related.
Yeah.
And we only talked, scratched a tiny little surface of what these guys do. Rebecca is an expert in patterns and agile software, and you see, to me, these ideas are all kind of
fuzzy things.
They're yeah. fuzzy, but
object-oriented stuff. Yeah.
And we have intense discussions that go on very long times. And Alan is the author or editor of the ECMAScript 6.
I was the editor of that. 6 ECMAScript 2015.
So if you ever want to know anything about JavaScript, a pretty good chance Alan has, you know,
the inside story.
Has some yeah. insight into
yeah.
it.
Probably has the inside
and
stories.
So I think let's see how long we went there. Oh. See, this is what always happens. If you ever listen to my podcast at the end, it always gets kind of fuzzy. But you know what? 31 minutes, which is exactly the same as the one we did yesterday. So, okay, we're
cool.
done. Awesome.
You have an internal clock.
Who knew?
No,
I have
I'm
internal
seriously.
Lots of things.
Yeah,
well,
but no, you must. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go now. Talk to you all later. Bye-bye.